Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Cisco Analyst Relations Speakers Series. Today's topic is Cisco Empowered Branch Strategy Evolution. My name is Chanel, and I will be your coordinator for today. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. We will be facilitating a question-and-answer session towards the end of this conference. If at any time during the call you require assistance, please press star followed by zero, and a coordinator will be happy to assist you. I would now like to turn the presentation over to your host for today's call, Ms. Amy Poon. Please proceed, ma'am.
Greetings from Analyst Relations. This is Amy Poon in the Analyst Relations Group. Welcome to our Analyst Relations Speaker Series. In today's presentation, we will discuss the evolution of Cisco's Empowered Branch Strategy and how it enables Cisco customers and partners to tightly couple the branch application and network infrastructure, resulting in a more consolidated branch footprint while supporting robust unified communications, security, and mobility services to remote office and teleworkers environments. After the presentation, we will have a Q&A period. The operator will pull the participants on the phone line for questions. We will also use this time to address questions we have received in advance of the call. Today's presenters are Joel Conover, Senior Marketing Manager at Cisco, Dave Frampton, Vice President of Marketing for the Access Router Technology Group. Joel oversees product marketing for Cisco's Empowered Branch portfolio. He brings over 13 years of competitive analysis and hands-on testing experience from his prior role as Research Director at Current Analysis and Senior Technology Editor at Network Computing Magazine. Dave is responsible for product market management, product marketing, portfolio management, and strategy for Cisco's integrated service routers. Under his leadership in this role, ISRs have grown to a $3 billion-plus annual business and have been the fastest-ramping products in Cisco's history. They have joined Cisco Systems in 1996 from the Stratacom acquisition. At this time, I would like to now turn the call over to Joel.
Thank you, Amy, and good morning or afternoon or evening to everyone, as it may be, and thank you for taking the time to join us today. As many of you may be aware, we launched the fourth edition of our Empowered Branch Architecture solution portfolio last Thursday, and I want to give you a brief update on what we've done there and how we think it's going to be relevant in the market. I'm speaking to slide two in the PowerPoint presentation that was sent out ahead of time. Just briefly, I want to touch on some of the trends that Cisco is picking up from its customers and from analysts like yourself. One of the key areas that Cisco has been focused on in the branch is in simplifying the branch footprint. And this is being driven by requirements of customers to reduce, you know, the amount of IT infrastructure that's in the branch, reduce the complexity of that infrastructure. And ultimately, all of this is feeding into this effort to consolidate applications back into the data center. And so that concept of data center consolidation, when we use that term, we're really talking about the applications moving back out of the branch and more towards the data center. And customers are doing this for a variety of reasons, as you're well aware, for reasons such as data security. So it may be as simple as not having backup tapes located in a remote office. They're doing it for reduced IT footprint, because only about 12% of all enterprise branches actually have IT staff on site. And ultimately, they're doing it because they can take advantage of the reduced operational expenses that are associated with having fewer branches, fewer applications in the branch. And so these are, you know, these are trends that Cisco has been tuned into for a while. And as you're probably aware, Cisco's WAS solution has played an important role in helping our customers to move more towards a more data center-centric application experience. But at the same time, what we're learning along the way is that many key applications that were decentralized and are now being moved back in the data center have some component that's absolutely mission critical in the branch. And I mean, a couple of examples of that are for example in the unified communication space. There's always the need to have dial tone, whether you're connected to the central site or not. And likewise, I mean, almost every vertical, every environment has an application which is considered so mission critical that even if the WAN is down, that application needs to be functional. And so to address that trend and that key issue, Cisco is announcing a solution which allows our customers and our software partners to use the network as the platform to open up, and what we're doing is opening up the router and allowing for the integration of key applications. And so we'll spend some time talking about how we're enabling that and how we're trying to make that both a phenomenal business opportunity for our partners and a solution for our customers that will help them to drive their business forward. The other key thing that we want to focus on this call today is the evolution of the teleworker. As Nemerity's research highlighted in one of their recent branch studies, 91% of employees work away from headquarters for some or all of their job function. And so this transition from being a teleworker or a remote worker into a worker that works from wherever you are and at whatever time is this transformation into this concept of the virtual worker. And so Cisco definitely identifies with that concept. Certainly, as a Cisco employee, I can tell you, we tend to work from myriad places all the time, every time, whether it's at home or in the office or on the road at a trade show, you name it. There's always the need for access. And what's changing in this particular space is the fact that more and more we've got access to tools that weren't WAN-friendly in the past. So things like collaboration, Web 2.0 type applications, which are very much centralized, not operating on a local basis. Increasingly, visual networking or video applications to the desktop. So all of these things are sort of working together, along with the fact that companies continue to globalize. They continue to tap resources in diverse markets, utilize those resources to both move closer to their customer, but often to leverage either a financial or competitive advantage by tapping people in alternate geographies. And so those people are frequently remote. They may not be in a traditional branch or even central office. Instead, they work from their home. They work from wherever it is that they are. So the neat thing about both of these, just to touch on the last point on this slide, is that these technologies all help us to help our customers move towards a slightly more green IT footprint. In the data center consolidation or application integration effort, it's about reducing the footprint of servers in the branch, integrating applications into the router. And in the case of the virtual worker, it's actually more about the human experience, reducing commute times or reducing the amount of travel necessary to do one's job function. So they're intangibles, but they contribute to the overall carbon footprint that an organization has. So on slide 3, just briefly, this is, as I mentioned earlier, the Empowered Branch is an evolving architecture. It was introduced approximately 18 months ago, and over the course of the last 18 months, we've actually had this will have been the fourth incarnation of the Empowered Branch, and so we started with this concept, and this has remained consistent throughout. The Empowered Branch is designed to help our customers move from where they are today, which is typically it's all over the board, right? But it's often multiple networks, frequently challenges in terms of total WAN bandwidth and how they're able to effectively utilize that. Challenges because of the distributed nature of branches with things like security and compliance. definitely an architecture that was built around moving many applications out to the branch. So as a result, a very inconsistent footprint in the branch, different types of servers, different types of appliances, and something that's not very easy to reposition in the case of a disaster or other business impacting event. And so the empowered branch is designed to address all of those pain points, any or all of them, by unifying the network, by bringing in technologies that help, like such as application integration and application optimization, extending the types of access that they have to the technologies like 3G, and ultimately providing a consistent branch experience both in the headquarters, both in the branch and between the branch and the headquarters. And so for those of you on slide four, for those of you that haven't seen it before, we wrap this up in this empowered branch widget, which really focuses on putting the routing and the switching and the management technologies in the middle, and then we surround that with all of the application technologies, application aware technologies that really make that empowered branch solution a full and comprehensive experience. And it certainly starts with the integrated services router, which we're going to be talking about next, but it also extends across the branch portfolio and provides a level of application awareness that extends beyond just a single platform. And so as a highlight, as part of this launch, we had an additional launch press release, which highlighted the fact that we've actually surpassed 4 million integrated services routers sold. And that 4 millionth customer was Coca-Cola Enterprises, who had a very unique story that I will leave to you to pick up on the press release and also the information on our blogs. It's just in the sake of time and to make sure that we stay on track. So, Dave, I'd like to hand it over to you to talk a little bit about what we're doing with the application integration.
Thank you, Joel. So, this is Dave Frampton, and I'll take us through each of the solutions that Joel mentioned in just a little bit more depth. First, we'll spend a few slides on the application extension platform, which is the initiative to open up the ISR access router to third-party and custom applications. And then secondly, we'll go through some new offers in the low end of the ISR lineup in the 800 family that really focus on this teleworker, virtual worker opportunity that Joel talked about. So for those following the slides, if you turn to slide 5 in the package, what you can see there is a trajectory over the last several years in the access routing space and the ISR space in particular at the branch office, where we've really gone from multiple overlay products to, with the ISR and the integration directly of voice, security, and other services, the concept of an integrated services router. So we sort of expanded the category to the benefit of the customers through OPEX reduction to a significant degree and some of the survivability benefits and security benefits that Joel alluded to. And that was a step forward, I think, for the industry in that technology and market space. And what we're announcing today is really the first part of the third wave of this strategy, which is really to expand that concept of integrating network services like voice and security to also integrating business applications. And not just doing that in a way which is focused on packaging and moving servers into the ISR, although that does represent significant value from a cost and support point of view, but also doing it in such a way that we bring the network services and the application much closer together in a synergistic way that we'll describe in the next few slides with several examples. And this really will create unique differentiated solutions for our customers and new business models that will enable our partners and ISVs to have a much, much greater market reach, but also elevate the conversation from just talking about network, infrastructure to really talking about business solutions and optimizing that branch footprint, not just at the network layer, but really at the solution layer. And so that's really, at a high level, the strategy that is the backdrop for this new application extension platform. If you go to slide 6, we'll start getting into the details of exactly what this is and how we're going to open up the ISR with the AXP program, the Application Extension Platform program, to these third-party and custom applications. The way that we'll do this is through a set of modules that fit into the ISRs that are essentially PC servers. They're Linux-based open systems that run standard Linux kernels and that have a standard set of utilities and will provide SDKs and the like to facilitate the easy porting of third-party applications onto these modules. And you can think if somebody's already ported their application to any Linux environment, these SDKs will make it relatively easy to execute this port to the modules that you see pictured there on the right part of the slide. We will be able to support multiple concurrent applications with some knobs to control the amount of resources and memory and CPU and disk that are allocated to each of the applications. And these modules will fit into the three major families of the integrated services routers. The 1841 will take the smaller daughter card AIM module that you see in the lower right, and then the 2800 and 3800 will take the network module form factor. Larger form factor also has an onboard disk of 80 to 160 gigabytes that you see there. So this will be a fairly broad solution across the portfolio with multiple packaging options. We will key the modules so that you have to have a business arrangement with Cisco. When you buy the module, we'll actually go through a qualification process and issue you a key. So it won't be an open module that you can port anything to. We do this partly for security reasons, but also to make sure that we have not only tracking but also a well-executed support model that we can communicate to both the partner community and the end customers so that we have agreements in place about first line of support, second line of support, et cetera. So we'll do this in an ecosystem type format, and you can see the key elements of that ecosystem in the center of the slide there. We'll provide a set of APIs into iOS as a part of the SDK that gives the application developer the ability to monitor packets, to collect information from iOS about the state of the network, to receive event triggers from the network that let the application take some action as a result of some pre-configured condition or flag that's set up about the network state. And we'll also let the application, through a set of APIs, configure the router and reconfigure the router, as well as take control of some I/O interfaces on the router. So I won't go into too much more detail here, but this really is the key mechanism that lets the application get information from the network and then take business action based on that. And that really is a key differentiation of the way that Cisco is doing this relative to some other announcements in the industry. We will provide a set of Web 2.0 based tools in a development portal to make sure that we have a best practice sharing with forums and wikis, as well as all of the usual technical documentation and solution notes that you would expect from a program of this sort. And then we'll provide, as we'll show on the next slide, a very specific tiered partner program that will define the engagement of Cisco with each of our partners, whether they be an ISV or an integrator. And then finally, we'll have an advanced services option for highly customized work that individual customers may want to do to get their own proprietary applications onto the AXP module and the integrated services router. So we do all of this really to several key benefits for our customers. First is, as Joel alluded to, this big trend in consolidating the branch infrastructure for performance and cost with the data center consolidation of apps. This really optimizes not only from a consolidation standpoint, but really from an open standpoint, because we're doing all this on a very standard Linux-based environment. You really have a great deal of freedom in the ability to consolidate not just network services but also business applications into the router, all bundled together with a Cisco support package. And that does provide a significant TCO advantage for our customers. The tight network application linkage, I'll give some examples in the next couple of slides of the set of benefits that accrue here. This is really around unique solutions. Joel mentioned survivability as one of them, the ability of the application to get real-time information from the network about an outage or a loss of connectivity to the central site or central data center, and then enabling that application to take real-time action based on the lack of reach, whether that's just keeping a mission-critical app up and running, or one of our favorite examples as we've launched this program is in the retail space, enabling the credit limit from a cash register to be raised so that when you lose connectivity to the central database, you don't have long lines accruing in front of the cash register waiting for these authorizations from the central database. So many, many examples here, but this tight network application linkage really is bringing unique value to the marketplace and really making the network as the platform. And then, as we've talked about, and you'll see on the next slides, we have a number of partners that have joined the program. At our partner summit last week, literally dozens and dozens of partners have queued up to sign up for the program. Everything from small ISVs to large system integrators, they really view this as a new business architecture and way to differentiate themselves in the marketplace. So very, very significant example of network as the platform, and it really does shift the category a little bit from not just router, not just integrated services router, but really a complete integrated application and integrated business solution platform for the branch office. So if you move to slide 7 in your package, you should see a set of tiered categories there, developer partners at the bottom, solution partners in the middle, and strategic partners at the top. This is really the structured engagement model that we're offering as a part of this ecosystem. If you're an individual customer loading a proprietary app or a small ISV, you'll probably start at the bottom using a lot of our basic technical enablement with the SDKs and the forums that we talked about. But as we talk about bringing solutions to market more broadly, most of our initial announcements in the past week have been in the solution partner area. These will be reference sells, where we'll do joint marketing. We go through a certification process. We'll have specific go-to-market arrangements with each of our ISVs and, in many cases, their partner system integrators in a way that gives you a complete menu from a customer standpoint of pre-certified solutions and defined partners to work with in order to actually execute on deployment of these third-party applications on the ISR. And then finally, at the top there, you see that as we move forward in this strategy and we see large business potential and opportunity, we'll move to specific resale and OEM arrangements as we start getting into things that have global market reach and reach into the tens of millions of dollars in terms of business impact. That's where you'll see Cisco resell and OEM, and that's where you'll also see Cisco, in many cases, move to first line of support as opposed to the second line of support, which will be for many of the reference cells in the middle tier. I do want to make a note here about the support model. There's a significant amount of infrastructure and testing that has gone into making sure that from a TAC perspective, a Cisco support and service standpoint, we're able to diagnose remotely and very quickly whether or not if there's a fault, the fault lies within the application space on the module or within the hosting infrastructure that's on that module. And so in that way, we have very clear lines of demarcation about who has the burden of responsibility for troubleshooting and support. You go then to slide 8. This is where you can see a couple of things. First, just the list of initial partners that have joined the program. You see in blue there the three groupings of ISVs that we're working with, and we've seen initial demand categorized in very specific vertical solutions. And you see here just we have initial solutions in each of the major verticals. I'll go through a couple in a minute. Unified communications is the other area we're seeing quite a bit of leverage and synergy using some of the packet capture mechanisms and the survivability mechanisms with the APIs to iOS. And then the third bucket is very interesting. We're seeing not only third-party interest there, but a lot of interest from individual customers in using the footprint of the ISR out at the remote and branch sites to really monitor and proactively patch and manage infrastructure, whether that's PCs or servers or, in many cases, remote infrastructure in a particular application like utilities is a great example. So just the monitoring and management of remote infrastructure without having to deploy expensive remote servers and using the Cisco support and global reach, and in many cases some of those iOS APIs that we talked about to facilitate the very efficient and real-time updating of software out at remote sites. You can see the initial list of channel partners that we're working with. We have major engagements already with all of the partners that you see listed there. In many cases, they're providing first-line support, staging, packaging, and deployment, really blending together and loading the third-party apps onto the modules that we've talked about. So I won't go through each of these examples, and what we can do is provide you a web link, which will give you a solution document and kind of a solution data sheet for each of these that you see listed here. And you'll be able to see all the ways in which all of these unique iOS APIs are being leveraged by each of these ISVs and these solutions. And then obviously we have the option to build your own solutions as well. And I'll give you, if you flip to slide 9, just one example to give a little bit more depth, and I'll leave it to the audience to go look at some of the solution docs for the remainder. In the vertical of healthcare, as we look at slide 9, we have a very, very exciting initiative going on, not only in Bulgaria, which you see in the title of this slide, but also in Germany. And this is an initiative at a national level to consolidate a central database of accurate health records for all the citizens. So that a citizen in a doctor's office or a pharmacy can swipe an identity card and then have the most recent up-to-date information downloaded to the care provider to really facilitate more accurate diagnosis and prescription. So for those of you that follow the healthcare space, this is a huge source of not only medical costs, but also tragic misdiagnoses, not being able to get the consolidated and most up-to-date records from fragmented providers. So to really bring this solution together, Cisco has partnered with ICW and Hewlett-Packard to take what used to be a three-product solution with a complicated management interface and consolidate it into a single platform on the ISR where the ICW middleware that accesses the applications at the provider sites and the central database is integrated into our AXP environment on the module that slides into the Cisco router. And uses those APIs to dynamically sense the card readers as they're swiped, to dynamically set up dynamic VPN connections to the central health database, and then tear those connections down as soon as the information is transmitted. And then we see Hewlett-Packard providing the staging and the integration and the loading of all of this software onto the AXP modules, and then integrating that with the ISR and providing the first line of support. You can see there the real gain in the value of the solution provided when you bring these three pieces together. And you can see there for the German market just a sense of the business opportunity for not just Cisco but our partners as you think about 200,000 doctor's offices and pharmacies where this type of solution can be deployed. And what's really significant and game-changing about this is an area where Cisco would likely not be selling an ISR, certainly a premium ISR, into all of those sites. If we were talking about a commoditized low-end server, a very, very expensive custom management application with scripts, and then probably some sort of managed service, low-end integrated access device provisioned by the service provider for the WAN access. So this is really new market for Cisco, as you can see. It's a tremendous increase in market reach for ICW, a small partner that instantly can get reach across all of Germany, and then a significant business opportunity for one of our large partners, Hewlett-Packard, that so brings all this together and then provides the first line of support. So a lot of detail here on one example. It's just one of many, but it just is a great illustration of the synergy that we're getting here and the unique differentiation that we're providing for our partners, but also for the customers as well. As you can see here, this really executes the category shift. This type of solution is oftentimes not even called a healthcare router. It's called a healthcare connector. So in that way, we're really kind of shifting the category of the router and expanding the market reach of the integrated services router as we make this transformation. So that's really the first and major component of our announcement. The reason I've spent the majority of my time on that is, you know, the reaction at the Partner Summit last week was just phenomenal, as I've mentioned. We're coming to market with these seven partners. We have a dozen more queued up. You'll see us every quarter make new announcements with new partners, and we'll be publishing some statistics about, you know, the number of new applications and new ideas that are being generated as a part of this program. And you'll see that from us quarter by quarter as we go through our launch sequence. A couple of brief words on a new solution as we shift gears to the virtual worker in the low end of our ISR line in the 800 family. You can see on slide 10 there, the empowered virtual worker, this sense that more and more the virtual worker is expected to have the same access to applications and the same network performance as if that person were, you know, sitting in a larger office or even at headquarters. And so in the new offers in the 800 family, we've made some important innovations to really enable that vision. The first is a complete uplift of the wireless infrastructure in these low-end routers. We've moved to 802.11n from a wireless LAN connectivity standpoint, greatly increasing the level of resilience and reach in the wireless LAN capabilities, but also the speed as well. Importantly, we've enabled the same unified wireless management infrastructure of those radios in these small routers as we have on all of the remainder of Cisco's larger access points that exist in the enterprise campus, and also the incorporation into the larger routers in a modular form factor. And this really enables the enterprise to have the same degree of remote management and security for these teleworker solutions and these small branch solutions as it has with the rest of its infrastructure, and obviously a consistency throughout there that adds value. So a major step forward in the unified wireless architecture. From a security and voice point of view, Joel's going to talk to you in a couple of slides about an uplift in our content filtering. We've moved to a very robust partnership model for reputation-based content filtering to make sure that the, you know, URL access from these devices is business appropriate. We've also brought voice into the low end of this portfolio, first in an IAD form factor with some FXS ports and SIP trunking for a hosted solution through managed service. And then later you'll see announcements throughout the year bringing more enterprise-class voice functionality down into these products as well. And then finally, from a simplified operations standpoint, you get all of the consistency of iOS services with quality of service and routing, but we've also taken an extra step to package all of this in a new graphical user interface that combines a lot of the security, routing, and voice elements into a single, easy-to-use, wizard-driven GUI that really is suited for this low-end market and the telecommuter space. So very important announcements. If you flip to slide 11, you can see some details there about the new models. The entry level with the 860 is obviously a price leader for us and has the basic 802.11 functionality and basic iOS functionality, but then as you move into the flagship 880, you're getting, you know, dual WAN, an integrated 3G WAN option, as well as the unified wireless architecture that we spoke about. I can't emphasize enough the popularity of this new 3G WAN option for these routers. We've had this for a year in the larger routers, and it's one of the fastest ramping WAN options in the history of the router as people look to true backup or rapid deployment. So very, very exciting to bring that down into the lower end of the line. And then you see on the right side of the chart the new IAD offer bringing voice down from a managed service perspective. So significant innovations in these two areas of the Empowered Branch framework that Joel talked about. I'll turn it back over to Joel, and he'll take you through just a little bit more detail on some of the innovations in iOS packaging and a little bit more detail on the management tools that we're launching as a part of the announcement. But hopefully you've got the sense from my section that with the AXP platform, we're really shifting the category, changing the game, and opening up new markets, not only for Cisco, but for our partners. And with this new robust virtual worker offer, you really see an exciting growth area at the low end of the ISR line. Joel, I'll pitch it back to you.
Thank you very much, Dave. So I'm going to try to keep this part concise. There's a lot of additional information supporting this on our launch website, which is cisco.com/go/empoweredbranch. But I'll give you just a brief overview of a couple of the other things that we've done along, you know, so these are iOS innovations that first impact the new 860 and 880 platform, but that you'll see start to appear across the portfolio as time marches on. So the first is this concept of a universal software image. This is only being introduced now on the Cisco 860 and 880. And what we've done here is, as you may be aware, in the past, upgrading from, say, a advanced security to an advanced IP services image required you to actually go to the router and initiate a firmware upgrade to enable those features. What Cisco has done with this platform is increased the, you know, the memory and the storage capacity of the router, and then provided a universal software image which includes all of the functionality on the day that you buy the router. And so to unlock that functionality, Cisco is leveraging a technology suite called Cisco Software Licensing. This is actually something that's not new to Cisco. We built an infrastructure to support software licensing a couple of years ago now, but this is the first time that it's being implemented in a router platform. And so what we've got here is basically on the 880 platform, there are two, as Dave mentioned earlier, there are two security options. There's the base image, and then there's the advanced IP services image, which enables the full dynamic VPN functionality, get VPN, and then also a couple of the other advanced features that are available within iOS. And so to enable that, customers can now just apply a license key, which is administered either on the command line or through a tool called Cisco Licensing Manager, which is a very scalable tool that supports up to 30,000 devices. So Cisco is, you know, as soon as we start talking about the ability to upgrade software images and licenses, there's always some level of concern, and so we put a lot of thought into this on the router platforms. I always like to highlight a couple of the things that are particularly relevant. So these keys can be obtained via a web fulfillment site, which is, you know, important if you're doing router upgrades in the middle of the night. Likewise, it does have the ability to get an evaluation key for any functionality that you need, so that if you are out in the field doing an upgrade and you find out, oh, we didn't buy that key, but we need this functionality, well, you can go and get that key for 60 days or 30 days and install it, and then deal with the back end of that license fulfillment on your own time, not in the middle of the night. And of course, those are kind of the highlights there. The other tool that we're introducing, and this is actually going to reach across the entire ISR and even beyond into the 7000 series router platforms, is a tool called Cisco Configuration Professional. And this tool is actually an evolution of our SDM, or Secure Device Manager, tool, which, you know, so we've taken it and we've kind of redone the back end. The key here is that we're actually introducing the ability to have a single tool which can now configure and manage routing, security, and all of the unified communications features which are available on the router. Particularly, this is the configuration and management of Cisco Unified Communications Manager Express and Cisco Unity Express, the voicemail engine, that are available on the router. So this is a key area where particularly our partners have come to us and said, you know, we'd like to be able to send somebody who's network trained but not necessarily as savvy on the Cisco command line to be able to deploy and configure routers for initial, you know, initial deployment. And so this is a new tool that allows them to do that. It also it's an offline tool, meaning it doesn't just live in the router. It's actually installed on a PC. And so these configurations can then be saved to that PC and ported about. So it helps in repeated deployments. On slide 13, we talked just about two of the other innovations that we introduced with the latest version of iOS that's coming with the 860 and 880 platforms, and then will be available, of course, across the entire iOS-based ISR and 72-7300 portfolio. And so one of these is iOS content filtering, which, as Dave mentioned, is a URL rating service. This too is a, so as you're probably aware, rating services like this one are based on a yearly subscription, and so these are implemented on the router via a license. The back end of this, for those that care, is actually fulfilled via Trend Micro, but that's completely transparent to our customer. So you buy the service from Cisco, and any magic that happens on the back end to enable this service is all done on our side. The other feature that certainly deserves some attention, because it's a pretty big evolution, is within the iOS firewall, which is of course our stateful inspection firewall. We've added support for the SIP protocol, and this is actually some pretty deep support for SIP. So it includes not only the ability to open the proper selective ports when a voice call is made, rather than nailing up an entire portion of your firewall open, but it also provides the ability to actually dig into the parameters of the SIP call and provide filtering and security services based on the parameters of the call. So you could actually do things like toll fraud prevention by blocking certain types of calls within the SIP architecture. And as Dave mentioned before, in the IAD 880, where SIP dial tone is a very real possibility, this has a lot of potential. On slide 14, this is really just kind of a slide that summarizes and highlights the fact that, I mean, the Cisco Empowered Branch has always been about bringing together wireless and wired in a fashion that provides the customer with ultimate choice. So they can go wired connectivity, they can go wireless, they can find a harmony, a balance between that and their branch using devices like, wireless PCs. They can go to devices like wireless phones. Of course, the platform has technologies like PoE that allow us to power IP phones and things like that, which are typically better served via a wire connection. And then, of course, so the highlights here are that we're extending all of that functionality, including the whole unified management architecture, the security, the radio resource management, all that functionality into the teleworker space. So you've really got a unified security footprint for your wireless architecture and a much more intelligent wireless network that's capable of responding to dynamic changes in the RF environment. And then, of course, as we mentioned, the new platforms reached 3G even further down into the portfolio. There's also another highlight, which comes on the next slide, and we can just move to that, which is the Cisco 3200 platform. So this is a platform that Cisco has actually offered for some time. Its primary application has been in the first responder and public safety environments, where, honestly, in the back of cop cars is a very typical deployment. So Cisco developed this solution, which is extremely rugged. It has no moving parts. It's all passively cooled. So it's designed for a very difficult, challenging environment. And what we found is that there's really a market for this beyond just in the back of public safety vehicles. And so by evolving some of the feature sets which were available in this platform, we've really now brought it up largely to feature parity with the rest of the ISR portfolio. And so as part of this launch, we're actually rebranding this product as the Cisco 3200 Series Rugged ISR. And we can provide more details to people that would be interested in how. So there's a number of very interesting and unique applications that are this is being used in. And so on slide 16, we just provide an overview of the new and enhanced portfolio. So making enhancements at the 800 series, and of course introducing the new iOS features across this entire portfolio, and adding this new family member with the rugged mobile router. Slide 17 provides just a comprehensive overview of all the features and technologies that are introduced in this launch. In addition to the things we discussed today, there are actually a number of voice-specific features and enhancements that we didn't dive into deeply, but we've enhanced the Call Manager Express, the Communications Manager Express, and the Unity Express engines that are internal to the router. We've enhanced the session border controller, or cube, functionality, which also is part of iOS. Of course, you know, we have the new platforms all across the left and the new iOS innovations like content filtering and secure SIP firewalling. Also, in addition, in the context of this launch, we introduced a new WAS appliance, which provides the ability to deliver Windows virtualization on that appliance. And so we can provide more information from that BU for people that are interested in tracking that specifically. It's another example of how Cisco is opening its platforms to provide customers with the ability to provide key services in the branch. But just to be clear, it's not related to the AXP solution that we discussed in detail today. We have some brief pricing information on slide 19, and of course that's all available in the press release. And with that, I can hand it back over to our moderator, to Amy, and wrap this up for questions.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Joel and Dave, for a very informative presentation. Operator, at this time, can you please open the floor for Q&A?
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please key star followed by one on your touch-tone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to remove your question, please press star followed by two. All questions must be submitted at this time in order for it to be registered. Again, please press star one. And your first question comes from the line of Gary Bang of Telsight. Please proceed.
Hello, Dave and Joe. I've got a question here. Many of the SMEs now have small, medium enterprise have multiple branches. From our consulting practice, we see that they're price sensitive and also they want business continuity. Therefore, they probably won't be looking for a forklift upgrade. There are two questions for me. First of all, do you guys support an incremental upgrade? So working with other vendors' equipment to provide the services that you mentioned in the presentation? And do you have some kind of licensing scheme where businesses don't have to pay for a service that they don't use at the moment but may want to use in the future? Thanks.
Gary, this is Dave Franklin. I think I understand the first part of the question there. You're asking if price-sensitive customers can deploy these solutions without upgrading their router. If I understand you right, the answer is that they certainly, with a simple iOS upgrade, will be able to support the AXP modules, provided they have a router that accepts that module type. And these module types have been around in the Cisco portfolio for a long time. So odds are that they'll have a module slot there and that with an upgrade they'll be able to support the AXP environment and then load the third-party applications on. AXP is delivered on the modules for the Cisco ISR, so it's not as if another vendor's router could support AXP. There is that tight, you know, network linkage not only into iOS but into the support model. So I think help me understand if I've answered that first part of the question.
Okay. Yeah. That's right. The second part of the question was in the enterprise space, there's a unified licensing scheme where if you sell a product, you sell licenses to enable certain services. For example, you sell a license to enable your mobility module. You sell a license to enable your voice module. Is it the same case with the ISR?
So with the ISR generally, with iOS, we're introducing on the low end of the portfolio in the routers that you saw presented today, the licensing for the iOS images. And Joel mentioned a universal image, and that if you want to upgrade your iOS, then you would actually just purchase a license from Cisco, and then that license would enable you to access that code on the router. That isn't available on the whole ISR family. We'll start at the low end and then migrate over time as far as iOS goes. As far as the AXP environment goes, where you have the third-party applications, usually what will happen there is you'll purchase the module from Cisco, and then you'll purchase with a reference cell arrangement, the software usually installed by a system integrator directly from an ISV. And so in that sense, you could consider that you can buy and install the hardware on deployment of the router, and then later when you're ready at the application layer with the rest of your infrastructure, you can purchase the software from the ISV and then load it in a keyed way onto the router.
And Gary, I would add to that, you know, as a modular router, a number of the features that we talked about, such as in the larger routers in particular, advanced mobility services comes as a module that you can install in the router. It's called the wireless LAN controller module. So in a larger SME where, say, they need 10 or 20 access points, this is a product that you can add into the router when you need it. Likewise, with our voice capabilities, that's a feature that you buy a license for in order to turn that feature on. And if you want voicemail, that's actually a piece of hardware that you install in a slot in the router. So there's a large amount of incremental value that you can add to the router over time. And in fact, that's actually been a key point of the product, is that you can add the functionality to the platform as your needs grow.
Okay, thanks very much.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, it is star 1. And your next question comes from the line of Anil Mingwani of AMI Partners. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi. One of the questions I had was, in the branches and the smaller offices, independent offices, one of the problems that the IT admin faces is that the moment you install any bandwidth, any routers and so on, the actual applications running within the business and the bandwidth that they need quickly increases beyond what has been installed. And so very often these businesses find a need to sort of manage or control either the applications or the bandwidth usage. And I'm wondering if the ISR has any built-in provision to provide that functionality.
Good question. This is Dave Franklin. So there are several different categories of tools that are provided in the Cisco ISR to help really control the access to bandwidth and the bandwidth provisioning at the remote sites. Some of the tools are embedded into iOS, like, you know, quality of service and traffic shaping, just to make sure that there's the right level of prioritization. But probably the most innovative techniques in this area are actually added into the ISR now through a module that runs wide area application services code from an appliance that Cisco also sells. Mm-hmm. And this software actually does TCP flow optimization and disk-based compression and caching out at the branch and remote sites, so that you're actually able to get significant compression ratios and decrease the latency of accessing these applications that have been centralized in the data centers to a very significant degree. And that has been one of our most popular service modules that has rolled out on the ISR in the last year. It's probably one that almost every customer that comes into our executive briefing center is interested in and in some stage of evaluation on adding that into the ISR. And again, you can do that modularly as you go. So you can start out using the tools in iOS that came with the router, but then, you know, as the pressure builds and as those apps centralize to the data center and you really require more fine-grained optimization and sophisticated optimization, then you can add that module in and really get a tremendously powerful solution from both sides.
So in other words, you're using compression effectively to reduce the bandwidth requirements.
That's right. And also using techniques at the transport layer to make sure that the TCP windowing is done efficiently as you access remote sites. And that actually, in many cases, we're finding latency is as big a problem as the, you know, absolute size of the pipe in terms of network performance. So really you need both of those together. If you still need optimization beyond that, we also have optional extensions to that module that are specific to individual applications. that do, you know, protocol optimizations for a specific specific application, like MAPI as an example.
Mm-hmm.
And that really would be a third layer of optimization you could provide. So you're absolutely right. That's an incredibly difficult area for customers right now, and we're really seeing a rapid uptake of these new solutions that help us address it.
But there is no way of prioritization amongst different applications. Is that what I'm getting?
Joel, go ahead.
So within iOS itself, part of every router, we provide the ability to first recognize applications and then apply IT administratively imposed limits. So that could be bandwidth, you know, minimum allowed bandwidth, maximum allowed bandwidth.
Mm-hmm.
It could be, prioritize. So weighted fair queues, allowing certain types of applications to go before others.
Right.
That's actually all part of the base router. It's once you move beyond, say you've filled your pipe, even doing all of that, what we're saying is that there's another level that allows you to squeeze more bandwidth out of the pipe without mm-hmm. having to add more bandwidth to the network.
Right. This might be an unrelated question, but do you also have similar capabilities on, you know, the Linksys products and so on, which are more geared towards the SOFO market, for example?
So this is Dave again. The different categories that we've talked about, you will get some quality of service and queuing at a basic level on the Linksys products. But what you won't get is the network-based application recognition that Joel talked about and the ability to inspect the applications and then apply policy. Nor will you get the level of TCP optimization and compression and application protocol optimization that we spoke about. So some of the base tools, yes. Many of the other tools, no. You'd need to move into the Cisco infrastructure for that.
Thank you.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, it is *1 to ask the question. *1.
Okay, operator, it doesn't seem like we have any more questions on the phone. So I want to say thank you once again, Joel and Dave, for presenting to our analyst audience. For those on the phone, thank you for participating in today's speaker series. As a reminder, we'll be sending out a short survey after the call, and I wish to thank you in advance for your candid feedback. If you have additional questions, please contact Laura Irwin. Her contact information is on the last slide of your deck. And thank you again once again to everyone for the time today, and have a great day. Operator, would you please close the call at this time?
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this presentation. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect. Have a great day.